It's the Central Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. A little madness in the spring is wholesome, even for the king, wrote Emily Dickinson. What better way to quell the madness caused by spring fever than with a getaway? Travel contributor Elaine LeBaum, who tweets about food and travel under the Twitter handle New Girl in Town, joins us this week with suggestions for spring break excursions. Elaine, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, I'm great, and it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, and I'm loving life.
Good, good. Well, okay, New Girl, you say it's not too late to plan a spring break getaway. What are the pitfalls in doing this? What are the things that we need to know about doing and the things that we need to know to avoid?
Well, you know, I think what happens is a lot of people think spring break and, you know, they're thinking, madness, anywhere I go, it's going to be crowded, it's going to be crazy, it's not going to be fun. You just have to think a little bit outside the box and want to go to the places where everybody else is going. Or is, I'm sorry, you want to go to the places.
You want to avoid all the crazy kids.
Absolutely.
Or at least I know I do. So
you
I'm
know what?
People.
I do too. So what comes to the top of the list? You don't want to go to Cancun. You don't want to go to the Bahamas. You don't want to go to South Florida beaches, Miami, Fort Lauderdale. I'd stay away from those places. Stay away from Cabo San Lucas. You want to go to places where you can warm up a bit, but it's not too hot and certainly not crowded. And there are so many good choices. We'll talk about some of them, but I'm sure that the quickest way to ruin your spring break is to go to some crazy crowded places. And people
would
think
South Padre Island be one of those?
It absolutely
is.
Lake Havasu in Arizona. I mean, the lists come out every year.
How do you know all? You went through all these places when you were younger. Didn't you?
No, when I was young, the list was different. But today's list, the usual suspects are there, and stay away. Panama City Beach. No, don't go there. Not right now, at least. Not this week.
Okay. All right. So where do you go? What do you do?
All right. Well, you know, we got lots of different possibilities. You know what's at the top of my list, actually, this time of year? And I'm thinking spring and spring flowers.
Sure.
Charlottesville, Virginia. Okay? Home of the University.
I would not have guessed
well,
that.
Well, I will tell you why.
Okay.
Monticello, first of all. So you get to see Thomas Jefferson's home. It's on the UNESCO World Heritage List. The place is gorgeous, top of a mountain. You know, he did everything from like the furniture inside to the gardens, you know, all the buildings on the property. It's absolutely stunning. But, you know, Charlottesville, while it is a college town, you're thinking, oh no, spring break in a college town? It's got a lot more going for it. It's actually the home of one of my favorite bands, the Dave Matthews Band. And because of that, there's this really nice indie music scene that sprung up in Charlottesville. So there's all kinds of, you know, small clubs where you can listen to really good performers. There's also a big wine scene there. There's this sort of like wine sub-region there, and there's this thing called the Monticello Wine Trail. 30 wineries are part of it. You know, every weekend they do different kinds of tastings, and there's music at a lot of these wineries. You can go there.
Did President Jefferson like the grape?
Boy, good question. Wouldn't surprise me, you know. I don't know. I don't know that he had a vineyard on his property.
Just curious.
But that's a good question.
Sounds like something he might have been into.
Certainly. And you know what else is also near, very near Charlottesville, is Shenandoah National Park. And this is a smallish national park, but it's a wonderful place to go and hike. It's on the edge of the Blue Ridge Parkway. I mean, that's one of the ultimate road trips in America, that and the going to the Sun Road in Montana. So get out there, you know, leg it out, you know, think about some driving while you're there. Don't drive after you've been on the wine trails.
Never.
Like, let's not
Never.
Do that. But there's lots of great possibilities in and around Charlottesville. I think this is a nice time of year to go there.
Okay, so on to your Fab Five list. Now, first up here, I'm looking at this list, Elaine, and it's a college town that
we talked about. That
it's not that far away, and then I thought the idea of spring break was to get away from school.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, it is and it isn't. Admittedly, you're going to a university town. It's funny, you don't have to go to the University of Virginia campus when you're in Charlottesville, but it is one of the more unique, sort of stately, elegant campuses around. It's almost up there with Turin, you know, Harvard and Harvard Yard and all that. There's this big lawn. There's a rotunda building on the UVA campus. So you can go and have that experience, but you can also do a lot of other neat things there that don't necessarily involve the college.
Okay. Now, there is a national park that you like in the off season.
Yes.
Which one are we talking about?
Okay, so this is Everglades National Park in South Florida. It's kind of sort of in the center of South Florida. It's kind of between the East Coast and West Coast beaches. And this is a time of year when it's not crowded, it's not humid. I mean, for years I made it a point to avoid South Florida between June and November, pretty much. My mother lived there for many years, and I did not visit her in the summer and early fall. And I know your grandparents were in South Florida for many years. My guess is you didn't go there in the summer either. That's not when you want to be there. But right now, Everglades National Park, awesome place to visit. You can do the airboat rides, and you know, you can see all kinds of neat things. You know, the manatees and, you know, the American crocodile, the Florida panther. So there's lots of great nature watching.
The manatees. They're friendly, aren't they?
They are very nice, yeah.
What makes them so nice?
That's a good question. I don't know, but I will say this. My father-in-law, who lives in Tampa, he's on a river, and they just come right up to his dock. I mean, it's like they hang out there. It's unbelievable.
I've heard of this.
Very, very good natured.
Does he reach out and apparently they don't mind being touched?
They don't, and he loves them. It's probably one of the neatest, you know, things for him living on that property, right in the river, very city center in Tampa. The manatees are omnipresent. So
you have to bring back some pictures of that.
I shall do that. So you got the whole nature thing going there. You can rent bikes, rent canoes. That reminds me, there was one time I was down there, and I don't know if it was a crocodile or an alligator, because I'm guessing they're both down in South Florida. And I mean, not, you know, 15 feet ahead of me, it just slowly started crossing the road. And I was like, you know, what I need to know is if I can outrun this guy. Because I didn't know. But luckily.
No, you can't. I'm not sure if you can. And why risk it?
Well, you know, luckily he didn't really look at me. He just kept going along the road.
And what did you do?
I just stood there, dude. I just did nothing. I just stood
there
and hoped that it would pass. And it did. Then I turned around and went the other way.
I think what you're supposed to do is climb a tree. I don't think they can climb trees.
Paul, I can visualize that place. There were no trees near there.
Okay. Well,
I just waited, and that's why I'm here talking to you today.
Thank God.
What else can you do in the Everglades? You can fish. You know, you can, like I said, you can bike, you can rent a canoe, kayak. And then if you want to do the beach thing while you're there, go west, not east. So stay away from Fort Lauderdale. Go west toward Naples and Marco Island, especially Marco Island, couple hours away from the Everglades. Very quiet, sweet beach. It sort of uses your launch point while you visit Everglades National Park.
We're talking with our travel contributor, Elaine LaBalm, and she's talking about her suggestions for spring break excursions. And for those who can't get enough of winter, and where are those people? I'd like to talk to them. For those who can't get enough of winter, where's the best spring skiing?
Well, that's skiing. A very good question, because I've actually talked to some people in the past couple weeks, and they are still thinking of going skiing. Not me, but there are people who are interested. You know what I like right now is Maine, Sugarloaf and Sunday River. There are a couple big resorts there. Believe it or not, Sugarloaf in Maine, this morning it was 31 degrees and sunny. They have 135 trails still open. That's a lot of skiing. Get discounted spring rates anywhere from 39 to 59, depending on your age, whether you're skiing day or night, what have you. They're open through the end of the month, so you can get down there, do some skiing. Close by, Sunday River is still open. Less property still open there, 16 trails. So you may want to spend the day at Sugarloaf and then do some night skiing, which is really cheap, at Sunday River, just to change it up. But the main resort's not that far from Boston. You could fly in and out of Boston, so spend, you know, a couple days there, then drive up to these main ski resorts. It's a neat thing to do.
Now, next up is a beach that is not crowded during spring break. This sounds like a secret location. Do you really want to divulge this?
I do want to divulge this. And it's a place that's super popular with Pittsburghers, and we're talking the Outer Banks, Cape Hatteras National Seashore. From June to September, I mean, the place is mobbed. This time of year, spring, fall, there's no one there. It's a great time to go. 70 miles of seashore around the Cape Hatteras area. Three lighthouses are open, and actually, the Cape Hatteras Light, which is the tallest lighthouse in North America, opens tomorrow. You can still climb to the top. 257 steps.
Do they still have a lighthouse operator up there, or is it all computerized?
Boy, that's a really good question.
I think they're all automated now.
Yeah, you know, they have a big Fresnel lens.
They used to hire people. You know, that was a job. You work for the government and do that.
Absolutely, yeah. And you're right. There aren't many of them around. So I don't know if there is one there. But the neat thing is that they have three that are still open. So it's a great place to have that kind of experience. You can also do the off-road vehicle thing there along the seashore. And getting a permit is very easy. I understand only, you know, takes 10, 15 minutes. You get your permit. You can take your car and drive on that nice hard-packed sand. Lots of, you know, motels, hotels that are pretty empty this time of year.
Now, for those who won't settle for anything but a white sand beach and warm surf, where to?
Okay. Here's the one that I don't think is really frequented by spring breakers, and that's the Cayman Islands. People think, oh, you know, offshore haven, super pricey. I mean, there's lots of different price points there in the Cayman Islands, and they've got this absolutely gorgeous beach. Now, you're looking at me like you're not buying this.
No, well, you know, it's...
7 Mile Beach in Grand Cayman. I have some friends, actually, who go down there. It's a public beach. You can walk the entire length of it. You can snorkel.
My question would be about the affordability.
Well, you know what? There are affordable places there. Yeah, sure.
In the Cayman Islands?
In the Cayman Islands. Absolutely. Just Google it. Do a search. You don't necessarily have to go to Priceline. You can find a modestly priced hotel, motel, not far from 7 Mile Beach. Or you can live it up and go to the Ritz-Carlton. But you don't have to. And the beauty of it is it's an absolutely gorgeous beach that is not terribly crowded this time of year.
Okay. You know, you are always able to find these places. That's why you are our travel contributor, Elaine LaBalme. She tweets about food and travel under the Twitter handle, New Girl in Town. Elaine, as always, great thanks.
Thank you, Paul.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. Tomorrow, we are devoting our program to meeting area residents who are devoting time and energy to helping others around the world. It's a very special edition of Essential Pittsburgh. That's tomorrow. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.